and just feel the blessing of this vessel and the blessing of the breath that's given to us. It's like we are going to open all the windows and doors and just become spacious and as empty as we possibly can, so that Murshid, Piro Murshid, Hazrat and Icon's message can flow into us. And notice the breath. Try to bring it into a balanced swing. Nothing forced, but just inhalation and exhalation in a swing in a very balanced way. And calling into the space all the illuminated beings, which we'll invoke in a moment with the Sufi invocation, but people that have inspired you, teachers here, now, and before, that have all the saints and the prophets, those that are here in this unseen world for some of us, and some of us see them and feel them and hear them. Let them come. Invite them all to come and be with us. And now, with palms pressed together, we'll say the Sufi invocation of Hazrat Inayat Khan. Those that don't know it, just close your eyes and listen. Towards the One, the perfection of love, harmony, and beauty. The only being united with all the illuminated souls who form the embodiment of the Master, it said, but we could also say the message, the Mother, the universe, God. Form the embodiment of the Master, the Spirit of Guidance. And blow into the palms of your hands as if light and life are filling them. And pour that through yourself and all around yourself. Let it feel your being. I just wanted those that are new to this recording, this is a mirror behind me. My husband's sitting in front of me there, and my big black dog's right here next to me, being a good boy, being quiet. He's still kind of a puppy, so all is well for the moment. So, you know, in America, we've just had a presidential election, and I know there's been a lot going on online. I know Pierre Mornadine sent out a message. There's a lot happening on the news. All the pundits are analyzing it. The stock market's going up and down. But you know, I myself have made a choice. I'm going more deeply into silence and prayer. And I'm sorry to say, Mornadine, I didn't read your message. I'm sure it was very illuminating, but I'm just trying to make my mind very clear. So no matter where you fall within this spectrum of candidates, I make no judgment. It is as it is, and it is as God has willed and the people of America have willed. But I want to read something that came yesterday. Was it yesterday? Maybe two days ago. No, yesterday, in the Bowl of Saki, which is sent out by our friend Wahidadeen. And I want to do this as a prelude to this class. And also to, it's just a message that was helpful to me and I'd like to share it with you. And Murshid says, this is from the Bowl of Saki, November 9th. The more elevated the soul, the broader the outlook. The more elevated the soul, the broader the outlook. So think about that. this idea of getting this big perspective, you know, going out, and looking at it from this broad perspective. And then Murshid, there was a commentary that was selected by Wahid Edeen, God bless him, that says this: there are many different opinions how the condition of the world should be better. Some think by religious reform, some think by educational reform, and some think by social reform. Every reform with the idea of doing some good is worthwhile. But the reform most needed today is spiritual reform. So he's speaking to us, our spiritual reformation. Today, listen to this. Murshid passed in 1927, so it was prior to that. I think he taught from 22 to 27. Today, the hour has come when narrowness should be abandoned. This is also within us. In order to arise above the distinctions and differences which divide human beings. This is a line of the prayer that we have in Khatun. The way to spirituality is the expansion and the widening of the heart in order to accommodate the divine truth, capital T, the heart must be expanded. With the expansion of the heart, the divine bliss is poured out. Okay, so we open our hearts so that we can feel just the bliss and the gift of each moment. And if you're wrestling with what I've said, let it just be, because that's like rubbing a cloth together when you clean it, or beating it on a stone, or, you know, as Murshid said, shatter your ideal on the rock of truth. So all of that is good. It's very healthy, and one must honor that as well. There was a quote that came to me by a question of Murid had asked, and her primary guide answered this question, but I also thought this was a very important something to note. This is from the sayings of Murshid Gayan, which means song, and the bolas, which means a kindred or kindled word, excuse me. And it says, as poison acts as nectar in some instances, so does evil. As poison acts as nectar in some reason, so does evil. Oh, that's a really something that we could contemplate. So, you know, what does that mean? You know, homeopathy does that. It gives you a little bit of the hair that's ailing you, and your body gets stronger from it and learns something to heal itself. And wrestling with these things, I think, is very healthy. As long as we keep widening and broadening to get a better grasp on it from God's point of view. So I've often said, and some of you might be giggling to yourself because you've heard me say it to you specifically, when things become troubled or challenging, I always encourage students, I say, let's just strap on our jetpack and let's rise above it. So that's what Murshid is saying. So if there's struggle happening in one's life, think about that. Strap on that jetpack and rise above it. I'm thinking of His Holiness the Dalai Lama. I've been so fortunate to sit at his feet many times for teachings, and he says something like, inside of everything that is created is the seed of its own destruction. And I know that there's so much happening, as we were talking before this class, about the rains and the hurricanes, et cetera, et cetera. And I myself, as a child, experienced a devastating tornado. It's the reason why we now have the National Weather Bureau. There was no warning and many people died. Our whole house was destroyed, and it changes lives. But you know what? We're resilient. Nature's resilient, and we're part of nature. And we can rebuild. It's an opportunity to begin anew, and that's part of this teaching. So now let's get to that, the purpose of creation. And again, these are excerpts drawn from a number of sources at the bottom of this document, should you wish to look. There is a reference to each one and where they've come from in the Sufi message volumes. First, a quote. Again, the title of this offering is The Purpose of Creation. And Murshid, who is Hazrat Anaikhan, spelled M-U-R-S-H-I-D, that means the teacher of the teachers. We refer to him as that, so I'll say that, sometimes interlaced with Pura Murshid, which means the great, great Murshid, or Hazrat Anaikhan. So I'm not talking about different people. I will refer to him in these teachings in that way. So he says, the wise of all ages have taught that it is knowledge of the divine being that is life and the only reality. So again, wow, getting that big perspective, trying to understand what is God teaching us through these challenges, through these changing times, through these natural disasters. Something's there for us. Perhaps it's just understanding the nature of impermanence, as the Buddhists would say. So now we go into this teaching. If a Sufi is asked, what is the purpose of this creation? The Sufi will say, okay, first let me just backtrack. When I say knower, think capital K. When I say love, think capital L. When I say being, think capital B. And when I say intelligence, think capital I, because that's something you'll miss just hearing this, but reading it, you'll see that. So it gives a different emphasis that to these words. So if the Sufi is asked, what is the purpose of this creation? The Sufi will say that the knower, the only knower, wanted to be known. And there was only one condition of knowing. And that is to make God intelligible to God's own being. Pir Vilayat used to teach us in our retreats that he would say, this is his quote, God wished to know him own being, and therefore created us and all things so that God could be known to him herself. So it's like that. When you think of it, it's like a mirror of God. So all of this is a mirror of God. And we are too. How profound is that? That we're mirroring something back to God. It's beautiful, it's loving, maybe it's even a little frightening to ask ourselves, what are we mirroring back? Murshid says, therefore the knower had to manifest itself, and that's a capital I, thus becoming an object to be known. And by this knowledge, the knower arrived at perfection. Whoa, arrived at perfection, it's all that. It does not mean that the knower lacked perfection, for all perfection belonged to the knower. Only God became conscious of God's perfection. Therefore, it is in the consciousness of perfection which lies the purpose of the whole of manifestation. Now, I've been living with this teaching for several months, and boy, I'm telling you, just that first paragraph is pretty hefty. You know, it's like we have to do some heavy lifting on that, but let's see if we can unravel it a bit further. Excuse me. The Sufi says, God is love, and that's a capital L. That is true, but love is not sufficient. How many of us know that? You just can't love things away. It's deeper than that. Love had to make an object to love in order to see its own nature, to experience its own character, to fathom its own mystery, to find its own joy. For instance, he gives a metaphor here, it's a good one. The seed has in it the leaf and the flower and the fruit. The seed has in it the leaf, the flower, and the fruit. But the fulfillment of the purpose of that seed is that it's put into the ground, it's watered, and then a seedling springs forth and is reared by the sun. So here we can think of ourselves in this way, that God, you know, every scripture you read talks about how there is Atman, divine within, you know, the seed is put into our soul. So we're the seed. We are given this vessel. There's a seed of God put into our souls. And that's the ground. We are the ground of that. So there's a ray of the divine that's come to manifestation through us. And then how is it watered? It's watered by our study, our meditation, our reflections, and our practices, and our breath work is very important. So all these things is a way to nurture that seed. And then a seedling springs forth, and it's reared by the sun. So we start to get this inkling, this awakening. There is a God within. And then we tune to the sun, that divine light. Murshid says it in one of the prayers, divine light which is hidden in our souls that we may know and understand life better. I think that's from the Khatum, the evening prayer. And then we bring forth the flower, and then we bring forth the flower of our purpose. And I will say, I think that evolves and changes as we do. So, Murshid says, this is the fulfillment of the seed, which already contains in itself the fruit and the flower. It's just there. It just needs to be nurtured and tended to. The person who does not see the reason of all this is in the seed state. Their mind is in a state of the seed which has not yet been germinated, which has not yet produced its seedling, which has not yet experienced the springing of the plant. And such a person, we could say, has not yet realized their purpose. It's never too late. Never too late. And then Murshid goes on and says, no sooner does the soul begin to unfold and experience in life the purpose which is hidden within itself, than it begins to feel the joy of it, begins to value the privilege of living. You know, there's that whole body of teaching on the privilege of being human. I mean, this is important. The privilege of living, it begins to appreciate everything, this little seed, this little piece of God in us. It begins to marvel at everything. Now, I don't know, perhaps you've had moments like this in your own life. I remember my first initiation by Murshida Viracorta did that for me. It opened something up so that everything was brighter, everything was clearer, everything had more meaning, there was more enthusiasm, more life, every step was with a purpose. And I will say I've had other initiations that felt like I was getting beaten over the head by the teacher's stick, which was also had its purpose. And knowing that helps us navigate those times also with a kind of grace. And knowing that that too is a privilege. So I pray that you've had that. Maybe it's also something like falling in love, how everything seems different. For in every experience, good or bad, this little seed, the soul can find certain joy. And that joy is the fulfillment of life's purpose. That joy is not only experienced in pleasure, but even in pain, not only in success, but also in failures, not only in cheerfulness of the heart, but even in the breaking of the heart. There's a certain joy hidden. If we think about it, if that little seed just stays in its own little capsule, well, it's not coming to fruition in any way. In order to come fruition in its life, it goes through a little struggle of breaking out of that little husk or hull, and it has to grow, and that is a challenge. It's a beautiful challenge, but it can be a challenge. That joy is not only experienced in pleasure, but also in pain. Not only in success, but also in failure. Not only in cheerfulness of the heart, but even in the breaking of the heart. There's a certain joy hidden. It's like, again, shatter your ideal on the rock of truth. If we don't curl up in a ball and just wish death to come, we get bigger. We get more magnanimous. We get more radiant. The light can come through. And again, there's lots of teachings in Mersha. You know, I spent several years just looking in Mersha's teachings. What does he say about pain and suffering? It's a worthy study. And on our website, under the links, there's the database, Hazarat-Anayat-Khan.org. And you can look up these words and you can see what Murshid has to say. So don't shy away from life, just be in it. Face it with courage, confidence. So he goes on to say, there's no experience which is worthless. It is especially for that soul which is beginning to realize its purpose. There's no moment wasted. For under all circumstances and in all experiences, the soul is experiencing the purpose of life. Now, Mershid gives this little example of the jinn, J-I-N-N. And Mershid describes the jinn in this way, because this is also part of our coming into manifestation and realization. He says, the soul which has passed through the angelic heavens. Now, again, this comes from stages of realization in Mershid's teachings. And he talks about these stages that we come through to manifest into this bodily form. This is also so very important for people that wish healing. You've got to understand these levels so that you can travel through those levels to find out where illness or disease occur. There it must be dealt with. Very important. Okay, so the soul passes through the angelic heavens on its descent to earth, comes next into the sphere of jinn, J-I-N-N, but it also means genius. This sphere of the mind may be called the spiritual. The jinn is an entity with mind, but not like a mind like a man or a woman. A mind more pure, more clear, more illuminated by the light of intelligence. The mind of the jinn is deeper in perception and in conception because it's empty. Again, when we would do retreats with Pir Vilayat, and it's good for times like, you know, anything you're going through, trying to find an emptiness in it, not filling up with prescriptions of other things, but this emptiness, this accommodation, we could say. So I know when we would do this phase of going into the immaculate state, we were asked to visualize such things as a crescent moon, an empty chalice, a ground laden with snow before footprints came, a desert where all footprints are wiped away by the wind. So this pure kind of immaculate state. Well, this is the state of the jinn. It's empty. And it's not filled with thoughts and imaginings, as is our minds, man and woman. It's the mind of the jinn, which be called the empty cup. And again, a cup into which knowledge can be poured, in which there's an accommodation. And Mershid goes on to say, it's for this reason that teachers, capital T, on the spiritual path, appreciate the quality of the jinn in the minds of their pupils, in which they find an accommodation for all knowledge. And oh my gosh, anyone on the path knows this is setting again and again. You know, we can't be a teacher unless we're a student first. It means emptying ourselves. Of course, we're all teachers in some way, aren't we? So the concept of the jinn has entered Western mythology and Eastern mythology too, in the story of Aladdin. And so we have this idea that there's this vessel. It's empty, but there's something very special inside. And that something very special is this seed. We are the vessel, we are the lamp, and this seed is there. And how does this genie, jinn, genius, get activated? We've heard it said many times, it's the polishing of the heart. Our breath practices do this. The profession of faith, there is no God but God, la ilaha illallahu. This polishing of the heart, the clearing of the dust from the heart so that it becomes a clear reflection for the light of God to come shining through. So how do we do this? We rub this lamp by our breath practices, by our intentions, by right motivation, by recitation of mantra, wazifa, by performance of zikr. These are all the ways that we are polishing that lamp so what can come through. This luminous, wish-fulfilling being, which is really within us. So think about that. Now, Murshid goes on to say, the knower is manifest as man and woman in order that the knower might become known. So we're part of this. We are this. And now, what may we do in order to help the knower to fulfill this purpose? And Murshid gives us three questions. Again, this is one teaching you probably want to go back and review if it speaks to you at all. Because these three questions, I'll repeat and give a moment of silence to just see what arises in your being, into your consciousness. Don't think about it. Just let words come. But these three questions are good. At least people in our circle, you may want to reflect on these questions as well as the practice during this next month. And these three questions are just relax your eyes, close them if you're comfortable doing so, tune to the breath. And here's the first question. How does the infinite manifest in the finite, which is me? How does the infinite manifest in the finite, which is me? And the second question is, how does the hidden treasure become known through me? How does the hidden treasure become known through me? This hidden treasure that God has gifted us with, me with, you with, this hidden treasure within. How is it known through me? Maybe it could also be, how is it known to me? How do I uncover it? And the last question is, how is the mystery of this creation manifest through me? How do I express this? How do I feel this? How do I gift this to the world? How is the mystery of this creation manifest through me? Now, I'd like to work with three wazifa. They are to be, we'll talk about them individually, but they're to be recited and experienced as a series altogether. So I'll say each one and give you a description, and then we'll try to experience it. So the first wazifa, or these wazifa means a divine attribute, a quality of God. So it's al-Khalif. Oh, I'm sorry, not at all. I'm sorry, I'm noticing my own typo here as many times as I've gone over it. It's al-Khaliq, Khalik, Khaliq, as in quick. Khaliq. Al-Khaliq is the divine creator, the divine imaginer. Al-Khaliq is the uncreated boundlessness of infinity. So this is this spacious accommodation, infinite before creation. We could call it both beginningless time and endless time. In Buddhism, we call it Dharmakaya, this unmanifested space of complete realization yet to be realized. Now, Kalik is this, the state of mind of God free from all impressions. So it's like the jinness of things. This boundless state of infinity. Al-Bari, Bari, with an apostrophe, emphasis on Khalik. It's Ka, the Ka's in emphasis, Khalik, and also Bari. So Al-Bari is the divine evolver. So from imagining boundless infinity, there's this evolver, the maker from nothing. So now we're starting to descend into these spheres of beingness. And where Khalik is boundlessness of infinity, Bari is inexhaustible potentiality. So it has all these potentials that could come into manifestation through us. This state is God's absolute nature, which could be called the dawning of self-realization. It's like the little seed. Oh, the turtles, we've just gone through turtle season here. It's so wonderful because the big turtles, the sea turtles, come up and they move with their kind of fins up to the, and you can always tell they're past. It almost looks like tire tracks that come up. And then they dig, 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 dig. So you can see that there's this mound of sound, and they lay their eggs and they leave. They cover the sand up, but you can tell there's something that's happened there. And there's numerous eggs in each nest, and there's one little turtle that starts to move about and open its egg, and it's the vibration of that one turtle breaking forth from its egg that starts to awaken the other turtles in their shells, and they start to come forth. It's kind of like that. It's this dawning of, I'm not just sitting in this little seed. There's something I should be doing. I better get moving. The dawning of self-knowledge. And then Al-Musawwir is the divine bestower of form. And I'll read a bit about this, but then I'll give you the pithy explanation. And I'll go through those pithy explanations again before we do the practice. So Al-Musawwir is the completion of the activity of divine creation that began as Khaliq, Bari, and then it's Musawwir. Of the three, Musawwir is the name that comes the closest to material objects in the universe. The form of the name Musawwir itself does contain the three stages of unfoldment, excuse me. Now, years ago, when we'd be in retreat with Pure Vilayat, we'd be, not all of us, but some of us, And it was my great privilege to often be called Pure Vilayat. It had something called the pod. It looked like a, almost like those old-fashioned, you know, or that capsule that brought the astronauts down from the moon. And it was on an elevated platform, but it was that kind of shape. It was interesting. And we were asked to go meet with him. And, you know, he'd kind of look at us and concentrate on us. And this practice is something that Pure Vilayat thought was very important for me as a creative person, as a designer, as an educator. And so you can see how this Kalik, boundless, infinite possibilities, coming into inexhaustible potentialities, but then something has to manifest in form. Well, we are that manifestation, but creative activities, and life is a creative activity no matter what you're doing, is that embodiment of those different levels of understanding brought into manifestation and form through us. So again, Al-Kalik is the state of mind of God, free from impressions. It's like this vastness. Vastness beyond anything we can imagine, really. And then Al-Bari is God's absolute nature, and it's the dawning of self-knowledge, but it's also the inexhaustible potentiality in us. And then Al-Musawwir is this state of continuous movement, which I didn't say before, but important. This state of continuous movement, because remember, it contains Kalik and it contains Bari, and it's a movement between the infinite into the finite embodiment. The infinite and the finite embodiment. So shall we try to do this together? Yeah, okay. I don't think we've done this in our group, have we? Nur Latifa or Gemma, we haven't, have we? I maybe have given it to somebody individually, but this is something we haven't done collectively. So, yeah, okay. So, we're going to do the practice only 33 times, although I recommended 101. And the first 33 will be Ya-Kalik. And then we'll go on to Ya-Bari, Ya-Musawwir. And then we'll, after 33 times, I'll say amen. We'll feel what's happening vibrationally through these practices within our being. Just try to tune in. And then we'll whisper them. And this time, Ya is like this honorific way of welcoming these attributes into us. But let's assume that those attributes have been called forth by saying them aloud, and the vibration is there, so there's a more intimate connection. And then we just whisper, Kalik, Bari, Musawwir. And then after that, for 11 breaths, we'll just tune into the vibration. So moving from the infinite to potentialities into embodiment, and this undulation between the infinite and the finite. So let's try this together. Let's see what happens. Ya Kalik, Ya Bari, Ya Musawwir. Ya Kalik, Ya Bari, Ya Musawwir. Now, one more thing. As we say Ya, sort of lift your consciousness to expand. And then Kalik, starting to come into us, that boundless infinite infusing our being. This is a visualization you can use if it's helpful. And Bari is the inexhaustible potentiality which exists in every cell of our being, and then bringing that into embodiment. And this could just be the prayer of getting through a moment, a day, a situation, actualizing your true purpose, whatever it is, and that can change. But this is the bringing down into manifestation. So let's begin one more time. Yah's like this springboard that takes us up and brings that kalik from all sides, really, but we can consider it a descent, if that's helpful, into our being, and then into manifestation. So, Yah kalik, Yah bari, Yah musawir, Yah kalik, Yah bari, Yah musawir. Ya kalik, ya bari, ya 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 musawir. Ya kalik, ya bari. Ya musawir, ya kalik, ya bari, ya musawir, ya kalik, ya bari, ya musawir, ya kalik, ya bari, ya musawir. I think we've gone way past, but that's probably good. Many more than 11 if you're counting. And now let's just sit in the silence, letting the vibration of these sacred names activate us. Set the cells jiggling and singing these words. Ya kalik, ya bari, ya musawir. So I'd like to read something from another source as part of our closing, and then I'll close with a brief statement by Hazrat Anait Khan. And this is from the book called Walking in Wonder by John O'Donohue. And you know, as an educator, sometimes I'd be trying to express a concept or an idea to students, and you'll see that kind of not quite getting it. So I would often turn to the classmates and say, can you say it in another way? So this is Mersha's teachings of today, said in another way. And maybe this will feel a little bit different. It has a little bit of a different vibration. And some of you probably know John O'Donohue. He was, he's Irish by birth, had a calling to the priesthood, became a priest, and then had a different calling. He left the priesthood, became married, does these incredible lectures and writings. This is from actually a radio broadcast of his that's been transcribed, many of these talks and lectures that he's given. And it's beautiful, I think. So this is from Walking in Wonder. And I think it also describes this process of becoming. To be born is to be chosen. None of us is accidentally in the world. We are sent here because there's something special for each of us to do here that could not be done by someone else. One of the wisdoms of living a full life is to try and sense what it is you were sent here for, and to try and let the hindrances that block you from that fall away so that you can claim completely the life that was so generously offered to you. We are all reared in a world that concentrates on sin and sinfulness. But I believe that when we come into the eternal world, we won't so much be checked for our failures, but we will be asked whether we honored the possibilities that were placed inside of us when we were carefully fashioned out of clay. That whole statement right there is Kalik Bari Musawir. There are limitless possibilities within each one of us. And if we give ourselves any chance at all, it is unknown what we are capable of. Let us look again at the lives we have been so generously given. And let us fall away from the useless baggage that we carry, old pains, old habits, old ways of seeing and feeling, and let us have the courage to begin again. Life is very short, and we are no sooner here than it is time to depart again. And we should use the fullest the time that we still have. We do not realize all the good we can do. A kind, encouraging word or a helpful hand can bring many a person through dark valleys in their lives. So here it's like Mother Teresa says, we may not do great things, but we can do small things with great love. I mean, we're not all called to be kings, queens, rulers of the world, master teachers, saints. We're just called to be real human beings and to do what we can. We weren't put here to make money or to acquire status or reputation. We were sent here to search for the light in our hearts. We were sent here to search for the light in our hearts. And when we find it, we are meant to give it away generously. The dawn that is rising each morning is a gift to our hearts. And we are meant to celebrate it and to carry away the gift of healing and light and courage of a new beginning. Mother Meera of the Sri Aurobindo Ashram says it very succinctly. She says, each new dawn brings the possibility of a new day. There was a woman from Trinidad that was homeless, and of course, a lot of homeless people come to such places as Florida. The climate is often kinder than other places. And so she kind of made a spot for herself. She would stay the night and she would leave by day. And because I would rise very early and go walking with Kelsey, our dog, I'd see her. And we talked about this. I mean, what she wanted more than anything was to work. And people were kind to her, not just myself. We tried to help with food, we tried to help with clothing, we tried to help with money, and others did too. And but you know, always I would encourage her, if she really wanted to work, to pray with great confidence that she would find it. And I said, I'll light a candle for you when I go to church. And she said, oh, I wish I could get to church and light a candle. And I said, look out there, the sun was starting to rise. That's your candle. Each day as that sun rises, you're lighting that candle of the divine, and we can make a prayer. So if you're not as fortunate as we are and live in this flat state known as Florida, where we both see the sunrise and the sunset, think of that. That as the morning sun comes, even if you can't see it from where you live, it's there. As the daylight comes, it's like lighting a candle to the divine. The divine, inexhaustible divine, pervading and filling all of space, and that divine spark within us. Let your light shine. As Murshid teaches us, when we dive deep, we find before us a world of knowledge that never ends. When we dive deep, not on the surface, go deep, penetrating insight into the reality of things. And it is that knowledge which gives us insight into human nature and brings to us the knowledge of the whole of creation. And in the end, one attains to the knowledge of the divine being. It's a process. We're all involved in it until we take our last breath and return to that source. Trust the process. Trust the process. So I'd like to close with the prayer Khatum, which each line is so potent and filled with potentiality. And I'll try to say it slowly so we're not just rattling off the words that we may know. And if you don't know it, just let the words come in. O thou who art the perfection of love, harmony, and beauty, the Lord of heaven and of earth, open our hearts that we may hear thy voice, which constantly cometh from within. Disclose to us thy divine light, which is hidden in our souls, that we may know and understand life better. Most merciful and compassionate God, give us thy great goodness. Teach us thy loving forgiveness. Raise us above the distinctions and differences which divide men, women, us. Send us the peace of thy divine spirit and unite us all in thy perfect being. If there's anything here that's been of merit, any way that anyone here in this circle has benefited, may I ask on our behalf that it goes out from our heart in ever-widening circles, and that it may be of benefit to all sentient beings.